We begin our series of the Sermon on the Mount at the beginning with the Beatitudes, something that most of you are familiar with, but it always helps to live it, to listen to it again and to let those words kind of sink into your hearts. I can remember going to the Holy Land and visiting the Mount of the Beatitudes. We know exactly where it is. It's been celebrated as the Mount of the Beatitudes for at least 1,600 years, and the scriptures are clear enough in the geography, in the description of the geography, that we know exactly where it is. It's not too far from Capernaum and just a stone's throw from Tophka, where Jesus at another time fed 5,000 people with just a few loaves and fishes. So it's a beautiful place. On top of the hill is now a Roman Catholic church with a portico all the way around it, marked by Roman arches, and it's just gorgeous. There's a garden setting outside. It's very serene and contemplative. There are benches everywhere where people can sit down and contemplate the Beatitudes. It's just a beautiful place. When I went there as a minister on a tour, the whole bus of 40 or 50 people loaded off, and we all went there. The tour guide said, okay, this is the Mount of the Beatitudes. We're going to give you 20 minutes to contemplate and meditate on the Beatitudes. It's a nice and beautiful, serene place, so you've got 20 minutes of free time. And we all just scattered out like, you know, ants, looking for a place where we could be calm and meditate. Well, it didn't work too terribly well, because the night before, there had been a storm, a lot of high winds, and there were dead branches everywhere. And so for the 20 minutes we were there, there was an army of gardeners with chainsaws cutting up everything. So as we were trying to contemplate what it means, you know, to be blessed are the poor in spirit, here were the roar of the chainsaws everywhere, and then 20 minutes later we were back on the bus, and so it goes. But I can tell you what it looks like. It's not a desert mountaintop. It is a lush, green area right up the hill from the Sea of Galilee, the northern tip of the Sea of Galilee, where the Jordan River comes in from Mount Hermon, so there's plenty of water. It's beautiful. And I think it looks pretty much the same today as it did 2,000 years ago, with the exception of the buildings that have been built there. You can see a grassy knoll. As you're at the bottom at the Sea of Galilee, you can walk up the hill, and it's not very steep, but it is broad. It's a great place for Jesus to lead people up to the hillside. Acoustically, it was excellent. He could turn and talk to the people, and they could hear his words. In the Hebrew tradition, the teacher sits while the students stand. So I want you to maybe close your eyes for a few minutes and just imagine. I'm going to transport you there for just a few minutes. You've just gotten off the boat on the shores of Galilee. You turn around and look for your mentor, your rabbi Jesus, and hoping that he might stay and teach you a lesson or do some miraculous healings, he instead turns his heels and starts walking up the hillside, and all the crowd walks up with him, you among them. Toward the top, he turns around and sits down, and everyone finds their place, and they hear these words. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Isn't it a blessing to hear those wonderful words of blessing? And yet, I have to say that maybe something is lost in translation. Something is not quite right about it. I think maybe it's because those words are too familiar with us. We listen to those words and they just seem right. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Really? Does that really even make sense? Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you? You've got to be kidding. Do these words not strike you as something that is counterintuitive at least? Illogical maybe? And yet we've heard them so many times we just accept them as they are. But I can tell you in those days that sounded like foreign language to them. In those days it was well understood that if you were wealthy it is because God has blessed you, and if you were sick it was because God is cursing you, and if you're being downtrodden it's because righteousness is prevailing against you. And Jesus sits down and tells the whole crowd around him, blessed are you when you're poor in spirit. Blessed are those of you who mourn. Really? Happy? Does being miserable make you happy? I can imagine that people out in the crowd were saying, wait a minute, I didn't quite hear that. Did he say blessed are the poor in spirit? That doesn't, I need to get a better seat. Let me move on up in the crowd because I'm not sure I heard Jesus right. You know, he didn't have a sound system. He just had this acoustical hillside. There's a great movie called The Life of Brian, Monty Python. I don't know if you've seen that before, but there's a scene in there where Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. The scenery is terrible. It looks like he's out on top of Mount Sinai. It's just rocky, barren hillside. Forget that. There's a lush garden area. But the scene shows some people way back in the back of the crowd, and they can't hear Jesus. They're struggling to hear Jesus, and so they start talking to one another. I can't hear him! And everybody else is saying, shh, be quiet, we're trying to hear him. I can't hear, what did he just say? And some guy turns back and he says, I think he said, blessed are the cheesemakers. And somebody else says, blessed are the cheesemakers? That doesn't make any sense. And her husband says, well, dear, I don't think he meant it literally. I think he meant blessed are everybody who works in the dairy industry somehow. So the scene goes on. It's really funny. And maybe just a little bit true. I can just imagine the crowd saying, I'm not sure I heard that right. This is radical teaching that turns upside down the world we have come to know. Because in the world I live in, the miserable are not blessed. And Jesus is saying, those of you who are persecuted, those of you who are meek, those of you who let other people walk on you, those of you who have no power in this world, those of you who show mercy instead of showing power, you are blessed. And so it is with the kingdom of God that Jesus begins right away turning everything upside down, and we have to struggle to hear it. If this does not sound to you like radical teaching, then you need to rethink it. Because you know you live in the same world they lived in. You live in a world where bosses can control your lives and tell you to go into work even if it's snowing outside. Right? You live in a world where nothing is guaranteed and you might have to spend the night in your car on I-75. You live in a world that hurts. All of us have lived out the Beatitudes at some point or another in our lives. All of us have mourned. All of us have had tragic loss. All of us have lived in periods of doubt. All of us have needed mercy and not received it. all of us have tried to be peacemakers in a world that is broken, where we know that peacemakers are often shut down and disenfranchised. This is the struggle we face when we hear those difficult words of Jesus. But I have to tell you, those words are not meant to be exclusive. He's not saying you have to be miserable in order to be happy. He's saying you are blessed in all circumstances. You're blessed even if you're a cheesemaker. You're blessed even when you are reviled and persecuted and spat upon. You are blessed anytime you show mercy, because that is a blessing to you as well. Now, I know we have our own ways of being blessed. We like to take matters into our own hands. We like to be in charge of our own happiness. After all, we're Americans, right? And we live in a free country. So we believe, and I believe, that if you work hard and you live an honest life and you get up every day and do your best, that you will be able to make a living somehow and that you will be free. Nothing wrong with that. The problem comes when we decide that that is the key to our happiness. It's like the dog chasing the tail. We chase after happiness by the things that we can do without taking focus on what God can do for us. Now, I've already asked you to imagine a hillside with green grass all over it. I want you to imagine something else now. Imagine your car. You have a car, I imagine, so imagine that car. I don't know if that car is worth $1,000, or $50,000, or whether that car is in the body shop after last Tuesday's run-in with somebody else. I don't know the condition of your car, but I do know this. You worked hard for that car. You worked hard, and many hours of your labor went into purchasing that car. And I hope you're happy with it. I'm happy with my car. It gives me a lot of pleasure. Maybe your car gives you pleasure because it rides like a dream and just seems to float down the highway with, you know, everything's quiet and it's very luxurious inside. Or maybe your car gives you happiness because the engine roars in this guttural sound and hugs the corners like all crazy and you can just fly like the wind. Whatever it is that gives you happiness in your car, I'm glad you're happy with your car. But now imagine that your doctor has just given you the news that you have 24 hours to live. It's time to put your affairs in order and count your blessings. Where is that car going to be in your list of blessings? Are you going to be laying on your deathbed and saying, well, at least I had a really cool car? Or are you going to be counting your blessings in another way? God has given me a good life. God has given me a second chance. God has given me beautiful children. And yes, those are the same children I'm talking about that drove me crazy when they were teenagers. And I wouldn't trade them for anything in the world. That is the blessed life. The misery of being parents to teenagers. That is the blessings of life. Having that opportunity to reach somebody that is a friend of yours who has just lost a loved one and you put your arm around them. And even those horrible, poignant moments when you yourself face loss, you can look back on that time and remember when your loved ones came to console you. That is the richness and the beauty and the blessings of life, the blessings of those who mourn. You can remember those times when you just felt sorry for somebody and showed them mercy, even when they didn't deserve it. Maybe at the time you thought you were throwing your money away for no good cause, but now in your last moments you're saying, I don't care about the money, I'm just blessed to have had that moment in my life. Do you see what I'm talking about here? I'm not talking about changing the world from the outside in, I'm talking about changing the world from the inside out. That the Beatitudes is really a matter of attitudes. A matter of looking at the world through a different lens so that you can see the blessings that are all throughout life, even good times and bad times alike. And you can remember these things and be thankful. Life as citizens of the kingdom of heaven is a life when we trust God rather than trust ourselves for our own happiness. Life as a citizen in the kingdom of heaven is a life in which we can trust that God is with us even in those times which we formerly would have called God forsaken. That God is with us through it all. We can trust that God blesses us in our occupations, in our hobbies, in our volunteer efforts, in the raising of our children. God was with us this morning, I promise you, God was with us this morning when we offered the waters of baptism to Clara. He sealed that child and said, "This one's mine. I don't know what the world is going to do to her, but she will never be separated from me because this child is mine." And these confirmands who remembered their own baptism and then came to a point in their life when they were able to make that same decision of commitment and trust, they are blessed. They are blessed by you because you have committed to help them continue their walk of faith, to grow in the way that God would have them go. So we're all blessed in this moment. We're all blessed in this moment, no matter what is happening out there. We are kingdom people. And it begins with the Beatitude. It begins with us understanding that we are blessed, no matter what. Now close your eyes again. And imagine you're back on that grassy hillside, gathered around Jesus. And you remember those words. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Are you ready to be that kind of person? Are you ready to open your eyes and see the world through a different lens, a lens of gratitude, and so that you can see that you're blessed no matter what is going on in the world around you? Because you're not, you may be in this world, but you're not of this world. You're God's people now. You're in God's kingdom. Building the kingdom starts with you, one person at a time, with how you look at the world in which He has placed you. May God add His blessings and the Holy Spirit be with you as we live into the kingdom. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.